No, you can't hear me yet. You can hear me now, because I can hear me. Okay, good morning, and I was going to wish you a happy new year, but I won't. I'll wish you a blessed new year, because somebody told me off in the way in about that and said, don't be saying happy, say have a blessed 2023. So I'm, on behalf of everybody at the church here, I hope you have a blessed, happy new year. I'm going to start this off as the way I go on throughout the year, so this is going to probably go down worse as we go. Anyway, if you're visiting with us, then you're doubly welcome here today. It's good to have you out on the 1st of January worshipping here. Our own pastor is speaking this morning, and after the morning service there is communion. Just a wee reminder for members, if you want to fill out the wee card while you're waiting. 5 p.m. is our prayer meeting, and then at 6 p.m. we're having a praise time, a homebrew praise time. So please come back to that. A lot of our own folk are taking part, and our pastor will bring the closing word. Now, there's not a lot on this week. Stepping Stones and Tiny Steps are off today. There is a creche, so if you have little ones and you want to take your little ones out to creche, you're more than welcome to do that. The only thing on this week is Tuesday at 7:30 is the prayer meeting, so come along to that. And the prayer meeting will probably be in the prayer room in the church here. Most organisations know their arrangements for this week, but I believe most things are off. Next Sunday, the 8th of January, both the 11 and 6 p.m. services will be taken by our own pastor. Just a bit of an advance notice, it's an Irish week of prayer, okay? So it's not a whole week of prayer, it's for 3 days. So advance notice that there will be focus on prayer, we commence on the 8th of January. That week, Tuesday the 10th, Wednesday the 11th, and Friday the 13th of January, there will be prayer meetings over in the hall. So plan to come along to that, plan to come to as many of them as possible, and pray for the work and witness of our church here. Finally, there's a prayer letter there from Heather Wilson. It's that colour. If you're really quick, you get it that colour. First 20. After that, there it's white. So those are the ones. Be really quick when you leave. Grab a prayer letter for Heather Wilson, and read about what she's involved in the next few months. These are all the announcements, and they're made, God willing. And I'm just going to invite Darren, Helen, Daniel. It's good to see you in our service. You're more than welcome. And I'm just going to invite I just said his name and I can't remember his name. Darren, up to pray for us. Thank you. I need to go for prayer.
And I've known Drew for a long time, haven't I, Drew? I must have been about that size the last time, yeah. So it's lovely to be with you, and we're home for a couple of days' holiday from Wales. And Billy said Bora Da to us earlier, so Bora Da, and Bloithan Yuath Yar, Happy New Year. There you go, in Welsh too. So it's lovely to see you, and we're going to pray together. Let's talk to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together and to worship you and to adore you. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us to look away from ourselves and look to the three times holy God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who is and is and is to come. And so we pray this morning as we gather together that, Lord, we'll come under your word and hear your voice. And, Lord, you'll minister to us by your Holy Spirit and point us back to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning we give you thanks, Lord, for all that you've done for us, Lord, in the last year. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've given to us, Lord. We pray that our joy may be complete as we find our joy in Christ Jesus. Oh, Lord, be with us and be with, Lord, those who are suffering at this time. Lord, be with, Lord, those who are ill and unwell. Be with, Lord, those who are mourning. And, Lord, be with, Lord, all of us, Lord, as we, Lord, focus our eyes on Jesus afresh at the start of a new year, that, Lord, we'll not just settle, Lord, for the status quo, But Lord, we will strive after holiness, that we'll strive after Christ, that we'll look to him and walk with him and know his nearness as individuals, but also as a church. Lord, be with this fellowship here in Abbot's Cross, and Lord, in all of those organizations, Lord, that start up again, Lord, in the new year. We pray, Lord, your word may be heard from the youngest child, Lord, to the youth, to the children of our area, Lord, to every man and woman, that, Lord, we may see and hear, Lord, of people being converted, that the people may be trusting in Jesus, being called to him, knowing him and loving him because they were first loved by him. Father, we thank you for the reminder of Calvary. We thank you for the reminder that Christ died for our sins and he rose for our justification, that we may be declared innocent before God and we may have a righteousness that's not our own. Lord, we thank you that men and women, Lord, have this narrow way to be called onto. And we pray this morning that you'll do that even this day, that Lord, in this place, that we'll hear the sound of your hand of blessing, not only in your presence, but Lord, in your saving arm being laid bare. Oh, be near us, Lord. Be with, Lord, those of our folk in Wales, Lord, who are meeting at a little earlier time and they're well into their service. May you help them to hear your word and to be blessed by you even today. And as we return to minister, Lord, to young and old there in Ebenezer, we pray that you'll build your church and we may see, Lord, more people being added to the church daily as should be saved. So be with us today by your presence. Help Trevor as he comes to bring your word and to lead us, that truly, Lord, we'll know, Lord, your help in that, and we will listen to your word and not just be hearers of your word, but to put it into practice. For Lord, we need to hear you and we need to follow you and to believe in you and to keep on going on with you. Keep our eyes focused on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Darren, for leading us in prayer. Can I wish you, on behalf of myself and Esther, a very happy and blessed new year? And funny, I was just thinking over this past number of weeks, yes, that's what we really want to wish people, is a blessed new year. And we're going to begin our service by singing the first song, which is Lord for the Years. And even though it has been a tough year for many people, and I've come through so many difficult circumstances, nevertheless, Lord has blessed us. And he's blessed us with his presence and his help and his healing and his touch and his guidance through all of the circumstances of life. So that we have been truly blessed. And so we want to stand and sing this first song. Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided us. Thank you. We'll stand and sing during the introduction. Thank you, Amy. Let's all stand. let you remain, be seated this time, and because I'm starting a very generous, kind of compassionate nature, and we're going to sing our next two songs, perhaps whilst you're seated. The next one is Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God and His Righteousness. That's actually going to be the text as to what we're looking at later on in the service, and it's a good way to start the new year, to seek first and to put Christ first in all that we do and all we think and all we say. Can I ask the ladies if you will do the hallelujah part? Because some of these men, they're singing down in their boots and their hallelujahs aren't very good. But you ladies, you sing the hallelujah part, and us men, we'll go back over the verse again, all right? Thank you very much, band. That song is giving us advice as to how we can get through the year. Ask, seek, and knock. And that's speaking of prayer and our persistence and our desire to see God break into circumstances and our situations. But oftentimes at the end of a year, the beginning of a new year, we're feeling a little flat, maybe with all the festivities and all we've been eating and we've been enjoying all the festivities. And perhaps we come to a service like this and we're maybe feeling a little flat. Well, this next song surely should be the prayer and desire of our hearts. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. And I trust that is your desire, and I trust that is your hunger, that God will fill you again with His Spirit and anoint you again for going through and living through the various challenges and changes of life. Now, does any boys and girls want to come up and help me? I don't think there's any special... I don't know of any special actions. Drew, it's whatever you have, it's smitting. So boys and girls, you come up with me. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Yeah, and we'll just stand here and look pretty, won't we, girls? All right, and there's one fella. Come on ahead, Ada, you come on. And Daniel, do you want to come up here beside me? Daniel, you're just mad. You'd bring your drums some of these days. Good lad. Okay, thank you very much. And we're going to sing Give Me Oil in My Lamp. I think there's four verses. What they are, I don't know, but I know the first one. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. And we'll clap our hands and we'll sing our very best, won't we, boys and girls? Yes. Okay, thank you. It's good job you're here, Harper. All right. Thank you very much. Remaining seated, and we'll sing this one as well. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Thank you.
Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil.
know if you're at the gate or see how they clap their hands. Thank the Lord we're not the Gaithers. One more song and we'll get you to stand this time. Thank you. That's a good prayer, actually. That's what we need. We need the new anointing. We need anointing for to live daily, because as we will hear tonight, we face challenges and changes in life, and we need the Lord's hand upon us as we face these various difficulties in life. All right, the next one we're going to get you to stand and sing together is 537, The Sands of Time Are Sinking. I remember us singing this song one night in the Bible study a couple of years ago, and there was a real sense that the Lord came amongst us as we anticipated the coming of the King. We'll stand and sing together, please. Let's all stand. Forward to it. Oh, you're as enthusiastic. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Let's bow together for prayer. Let's pray. This same God that we have been worshipping is the same God that's here today. He's the same God that we'll stand before and rejoice in His presence on that final day when He calls us all home. And we're all traveling towards that great event when that bride will behold her bridegroom. and we'll not be taken up with the glories of the decor of heaven. We'll not be taken up with those fancy crowns that we're going to be given. We're going to be taken up with the glory of His person, and that's what should take us up even here today. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for these exciting words, these thoughts, these concepts of eternity and the glory of knowing Christ, and one day we will be with Him. And Lord, all the things we've been through this past week, and all the challenges we've had to face, and Lord, the challenges we will have to face in the days that lie ahead, we thank you, Lord, that they'll pale into insignificance. Lord, all the decor of heaven, the golden streets and the walls and of jasper and gates of pearls and diamonds and beautiful gemstones will pale into insignificance when we behold Him, the Christ who saved us, who gave His life for us, the Christ who walked with us through life, the one who held our hands even though we thought we were alone in the circumstance. He was with us. And we thank you that He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We thank you that He's kept that promise. We haven't been as faithful, but He has remained faithful. Thank you for the blessings of this past year. Thank you, Lord, for knowing your healing touch on many, your helping touch, your presence made felt, Lord, even as we went through the mourning, the valley of mourning. Lord, you were there with those who were crying out to God to take their life, to take them home because of the awful challenges they were facing. And yet, Lord, here we are, and we're still worshiping. We're still praising. We're still thanking God. We're still hopeful. We're still anticipating that greater day when we stand and see Him and view Him face to face. Our Father, we pray that as we enter into 2023, Lord, unless time stands still, we're going to face more of what we faced last year. But we thank you that we still have that promise of the one that brought us through last year will be with us this year. And we'll know even greater glory because you are the guide. You are the day spring. You are the morning star. You're the lily of the valley. You're the bright in the morning star. You're the fairest of 10,000. And we rejoice as we worship at His feet this morning. Bless us, Lord. And those at home who are unwell, those in hospital, those who are struggling with sickness, and you know who they are. Those who are going through the valley of mourning. We think of Eileen Turner, who just before Christmas lost her brother. Lord, we think of all of these and pray that you'll draw near graciously to each one. And may they know your help and your encouragement. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We've got two passages of Scripture I want you to turn with me. First of all, to Psalm number 90. Psalm number 90, and we're reading verses 10 to verse 12. And then we're going over to that text in Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 25 to 34. The title of the message this morning is Making the Most. How to get the most out of 2023. How to get the most out of 2023. Maybe 2022 wasn't just as fruitful or as blessed as you had hoped it would be. Maybe there were some mistakes and decisions that we made that added to that failure. But if we hear God's word this morning, and as we heed what He says to us, I do believe that we can get the best out of 2023. Let's read together two passages, Psalm number 90, verses 10 to 12, and then we're going over to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. First of all, Psalm number 90, and reading from verse 10. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger, Lord? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Then over there to Matthew chapter 6, and we're reading from verse 25 to the end of the chapter. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, neither nor garner into barns. But your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the fields, how they grow. For they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you need, that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Amen. And we trust that the Lord will bless that reading of his word to our hearts. How to get the most out of 2023. There's an old saying which says, you're never too old to learn. And we read, we find a paraphrase of that and a truth of that in Psalm number 90. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And to put that into a modern day slant, it says this: teach us to number our days and recognize how few they are, and help us to spend them as vital and as valuable as we should. Someone has once said and observed that life and a year is like a pound note. You can only spend it once. 2023 is going to be like a pound note. We can only spend it once. We can waste it, or we can invest it. The choice is yours and mine. Now, whether you're young or whether you're old, or whether you're 6 or 60, whether you're healthy or wealthy, or whether you're puny and poor, you can make this year the best year of your life. Suppose you were starting life all over again. You're old enough to know right from wrong. You're old enough to learn, old enough to love, and old enough to really live. And if you could ask the Lord Jesus how you could make this year the best year, what do you think he would say to you? Be kind to your neighbor. Be good and obey your parents' children. What do you think he would really say? Pay 100 pence in the pound. Here's what he would say: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added on to you. Or in other words, to simplify it into three words, for this year to be the best year, for 23 to be the most that you'll get out of any year, here's the three words: first things first. First things first. That's a good motto. That could be a motto that we put up for this year, that you could put up for this year in your life. First things first. I know that sounds simple, but if we could consciously, if we could continuously, and if we could constantly, and if we could consistently put things first, that being the things of God first, the outcome of this year could be blessed indeed. Now, how do you do that? And how you do that is found very simply in the text that we brought to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Here's the first thing. Set proper priorities. I was thinking about that this morning when I was laying in my bed. And I was thinking about the first three commandments that are given to us. And after all, we know that in the New Testament, Jesus reduced all the Ten Commandments to just two commandments: love God and love your neighbor. The first three commandments in the commandments is that you shall have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of the likeness of heaven above, or the earth beneath, or the waters under the earth. So the first commandment is, put God first. That's a priority that you will never, ever lose out on. Put your will under the will of God. And if God's will is your will, you will never fail. Because God's will never fails to be accomplished. Set proper priorities. I had the occasion before Christmas to visit someone in hospital. They don't attend this church, but I was asked to go and see them. And it turned out over lockdown that they ended up to become an alcoholic. An alcoholic. How did it happen? Very innocently. They didn't wake up one morning and decide, I'm going to become an alcoholic. But they started an activity in their lives that led them down a pathway they had never intended to go, and they had never intended to arrive at. And there they were, on the verge of death, after just a few short years. And I was asked the question, can you help me? Can you help me? And I said, the road to recovery oftentimes is short little steps. And the way that we get into these messes in our lives is because sometimes we embrace the wrong lifestyle. And I said to this person, think about your lifestyle. Think about where you want to be next year. See where you want to be. Think about where you want to be in 5 years' time. Think about where you want to be in 10 years' time. And I said, now begin to take short little steps to seeing that happen and occur. So let's take this step by step. Seek first the kingdom of God. Who's your king? Who's my king? Is self on the throne? What I want, my ambitions, my priorities, my desires, my habits, the things that I want, is that who's king? Is self on the throne? Let me say this to you. It's the easiest thing in the world to have Christ as king of your heart. The only thing that you have to do, if you're sitting in this service and you're not converted, or you're dabbling your feet on the periphery, and you perhaps have a hungering and a hankering for something better than what you've already have, then I want to tell you, you've got the wrong king on the throne of your heart. You need King Jesus. Mark and I had the privilege of praying with a man who's in this service today on Christmas week. And I asked him this morning, how do you feel today? And he says, I feel as if a burden has been lifted off my shoulders. I feel like a new person. Because the old person unknown to itself, is designed to destroy you. Because we run after the hankerings and the hungerings of this old fallen life, thinking that the things we delve into, or the things that we stretch after, or we strive for, we don't realize that they're taking us further and further and further away from God. Who's the king? Next step in what kingdom? Is it the kingdom of self and mine and my own? You see, the Christian life is more than just asking Christ to save you. The Christian life is about ask and that shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. It's not just an insurance policy that 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago that you came and you invited the Christ to be your Savior and you forgot about Christian life ever since, and you continue to live your own way, but it's a continuous daily seeking after the Savior, looking and listening for orders from the Master. Because after all, it's not your kingdom now, it's His kingdom. I want to let you into a little secret. God doesn't have any favorites, but He does have intimates. You might look at someone and say, well, God's special favours upon them. And I'm going to say to you, it's because they have sought Him. And they continuously and daily seek Him. James chapter 4 and verse 8 says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. You have as much of God as you want, or as little as you have desired. Jeremiah said, you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. In verses 32, verse 33, and verse 30 of Matthew chapter 6, we have three words: faith, Father, and first. Faith always puts the Father first in our lives. Faith is putting God first. He doesn't want our place in our lives. He doesn't even want prominence in our lives. He wants the preeminence in our lives. And oftentimes what God wants in our lives is not what we want. And often how God would deal with circumstances is not how we would deal with them. And that's what it means to have faith. Faith trusts in Him. The Lord Jesus Christ is not interested in being the first runner-up in your beauty contest. He's not interested in being president in your corporation. He's not interested in being second in command in your army. He wants to be king on the throne of your heart. So what does it really mean then if we're to seek the kingdom of God? It means that the kingdom of God is to be our obsession in life. And I'm going to give you a little word here. If you make the kingdom of God your obsession in 2023, your 2023 will not be like 2022. There are three things, just I'll mention them in passing. When you're seeking the Father, you're seeking the glory of the King. Every part and parcel of your life, every minute and moment of your life, every ounce and pound of your strength, every muscle and fiber of your body ought to be given for the glory of God. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, whatsoever therefore you shall eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all for the glory of God. That's a great recipe. Do all for the glory of God. Whether it's at work, whether it's at school, whether it's at home, whether it's at play, whether it's in the church or whether it's out in the community, everything we do has to be not for the glory of me, has to be for the glory of Him. He says, I will give my glory to no one. The glory of the King, it has to be for the guidance of the King. Lord, what choice, what decision, what direction will I go here? Has to be for the guidance of the King. Lord, how do I deal with this situation? Lord, what would you have me do with this situation? Every morning in your life, begin by asking the Lord Jesus what Paul asked the Lord Jesus on the Damascus Road. Lord, what would you have me to do? And I'm going to tell you something. There is no higher calling in life than to do what the Lord would ask us to do. The third thing regarding seeking Him, you're seeking the government of the King. You see, a loyal subject desires to be controlled by the King, to be governed by the King. And it's all right singing He is Lord, and then us going and living our own life. And you will have heard this before. If He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord of your life at all. Set proper priorities. Here's the second thing as we look at this verse. Seek personal purity. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Do you know, I believe with all of my heart that everybody has an idea of what they think righteous and holy living is. Well, God is not interested in you living according to your idea of what righteousness and holiness is. God's more interested in you and I living His righteousness. His righteousness. The kingdom of God is not only the inward experience, but it is outwardly expressed. Not only are we seeking to be controlled by God, we are also to seek God's character within us. Is God, or if God is ruling over you, now listen to this. If God is ruling over me, then His righteousness will be written within me. A man's character is simply the outward expression of whatever is controlling him inwardly. Faith is always seen by its fruit. Character is always seen by its conduct. Proverbs 20 and 12 says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. And as we seek the kingdom of God, people ought to be able to see the kingdom of God in us. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. He said, the kingdom of God has come unto you. And there's an awful lot of people get into an awful lot of doctrinal and theological contortions to try and understand what that means. It means living under His rule and His realm and under His orders and under His standards. That's what it means. You and I are never going to make a difference in this world until everyone sees the difference in us. It was the German philosopher, I think this is the right pronunciation, I'll spell it for you, Nietzsche, Nietzsche. Sounds Russian, doesn't it? And he was the philosophical founder of the Nazi movement in Germany. And he concluded that God is dead. And then he went on to explain why he arrived at that conclusion. He says, because I see an awful lot of dead Christians. And he said, if you want me to be persuaded that God is real, and I want to see you live as you are redeemed, and you're being set free. The real mark of a Christian is that he makes it easier for others to believe in God. So what does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? We must desire it. Can I test this meeting? You can remember back to when you became a Christian, some of you. Some of you may not be because you were brought up in a Christian home and it's difficult for you, and I understand that. And don't you get into any guilt trip because you don't remember exactly when it was and how it happened, and there's no great big change. But for those of you who are coming from an absolute pagan, heathen background like myself, you remember the first day you got saved? You remember that day? And then there was this hunger, this desire within you that you wanted to be more like Christ. You don't know where it came from, but there was this new desire, this new habit. I want to be more like my Savior. Is that anybody else's experience? There began this instant hunger and desire. I want to know him. I want to live like him. I want to act like him. I want to react like him. I want to be close on his tail. Well, that was my experience. I love what the psalmist said in Psalm 23. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's very hard to want to live a righteous life if you haven't got the hunger for it. You must desire it. Is there anyone here today that you don't desire to live a holy, godly, righteous life? A life that pleases him? Must desire it. But we must derive it. His righteousness. God's not interested in what I do. If I'm trying to thrill the eyes of God by my actions. He's interested in Christ's righteousness. Within us. Being lived out from us. Here's what Paul said. He spoke of this hunger in Philippians 3:9. He said, and to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You see, you could be, and we've often covered this before, righteousness must be imputed before it can be imparted. Let me make that even simpler again. Before you can live it, God must give it. It is something that begins to live out through us as we walk in obedience and discipline after him. And this year, you and I could make a huge difference when people see the difference in us. Must desire it, must derive it. And must depict it. It was Rogers, that commentator, who said, we ought to live in such a way that we would not want or not be ashamed to sell the family budgie to the neighbours. You know, having children have a wonderful habit of telling exactly what's going on in the house. Isn't that right? Well, maybe you don't know that, but it's true. I have a granddaughter, she's not here today, and she even makes up stories. I'm glad she doesn't be making them up about me, but then I don't know if she is or not. But if your granddaughter or grandson was let loose, and they had full liberty of their tongue, would they have any embarrassing stories to tell? We must depict it. Here's the last little thought. Not only have we looked at setting proper priorities, not only have we spoken about seeking personal purity, what about the see the promised prosperity? All these things shall be added unto you. What things, you might ask? Well, if we went through this passage that we read in Matthew chapter 6, we'd see that in verse 19, we are told that people worry about finances. And I tell you what, if you're listening to the media enough, you'll be worried even if you have nothing to worry about. We seem to live in a world that's scaremongering now. Verse 19. About personal finances. Look at verse 25. We're told not to worry about food. In verse 27, we're told not to worry about fitness. In verse 28, we're told not to worry about fashion. He said, all these things shall be added on to you. That's why the Lord said, all these things. The Lord has promised that if you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, you'll have all the things that you need, not the things you want. There are four lessons then, as I bring this message to a conclusion. Four lessons our parents ought to have taught us, and if they didn't, I'm going to teach them to you now. And if you haven't taught them to your children, you start teaching these to your children. First, you don't need everything you want. Don't we get into an awful, awful hissy fit when we set ourselves? And by the way, I think that today's mentality, that today's world has set standards, and if you're not above that standard, then you're living a substandard life. And I think back to my growing up days, and I'm sure many of you can do the same. We made do with an awful lot less, didn't we? We made do with an awful lot less. Everything you want, you don't need it. I thought about this for myself. I've had all the money that I've spent on things I didn't really want. I wouldn't be as poor as I am today. Here's the second lesson. Sometimes we don't want everything that we need. Hands up those of you whenever the mother gave you a wee bit of clip of the ear and you stepped out of line. Come on, she can't be. AR, did it do us any harm? Not a bit. That's as far as I'm going with that one. Or somebody will take a lawsuit out against me, inciting violence in the home. Spare the rod and spoil the child. By the way, you have to be very careful in disciplining children, because sometimes if you lose your temper with your children, then maybe you do deserve to be rebuked. And sometimes God chastises us, chastens us, nudges us back into the right direction. And sometimes it's not too pleasant, lays us on the broad of our back just to get us to open our eyes to the will of God for our lives. And who of us couldn't testify to that? Sometimes we don't want what we get, but what we get is what we need. Here's the third lesson. God doesn't give us everything we want. Talking to a preacher, I forget who it was there just the other day. I honestly forget who it was. And we agreed that this, that we read that this verse, God granted their request, but sent leanness to their soul. And we asked, well, we were surveying, because that's in Psalms, we asked, well, where is that, what is that about? And it's about the time whenever the children of Israel sought for a king. And God gave them Saul. And Saul bled their lives. He bled their homes. And their youngsters were put on the front line and they gave their lives for serving King Saul. And all the while, God was displeased with him because God, he wanted to be on the throne. But they wanted to be like the rest of the nations. But God granted their request. Be careful what you pray for. By the way, next Sunday morning's message is what's in your basket. I was actually thinking of calling it the basket cases. You'll find it in 2 Corinthians 9. Paul was led over the wall in a basket. The message is being preached in preparation for our Irish week of prayer. The three-leaved clover. Do put that as a priority to meet with us. Be careful what you pray for. from places of intense conflict, we get some of the most honest confessions. And here's one in the form of an unknown soldier as he prayed on the battlefield. I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked God for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked God for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked God for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked God for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything that I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most blessed. Here's the fourth lesson. God always gives us what we need. He always does. My Heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. The last time I read about my Heavenly Father, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Paul says, my God shall supply all your needs, shall supply all your needs by his riches in Christ's glory. I heard the story, or actually read the story, of two shops that were across the street from each other. They were highly competitive, always trying to get ahead. The manager of one store came out one day and nailed a great big sign over the front of his store that read, "If you want it, we have it." Well, the manager of the other store walked out and saw that sign, thought for a few moments, and went back into his store, and a while later came out with a sign and he nailed it over his store that said, "If we don't have it, you don't need it." If God doesn't give it to you, you don't need it. But I'll tell you what he'll give you. He'll give you peace in the midst of the storm. He'll give you his presence when you feel alone. He'll give you guidance when you feel lost. He'll give you joy in the midst of your sadness. He'll give you oil of joy for mourning and the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And he'll give you something to look forward to in life. If you don't have it, it's because God knows at this point in your life you don't need it. And the Lord is teaching us here that it is our job to serve him, and it is his job to supply us. I was converted through the singing of two songs by Jim Reeves. One of them was, "I Have Thine Own Way." But the world has twisted that song, and here's how the world sings it. "I'll have my own way, Lord. I'll have my own way. I'll be the potter, you be the clay. I'll mould you and make you after my will. While you are waiting, yielded and still." And that's the attitude that cuts us off the blessedness that Drew spoke about this morning. Getting our own way. A missionary was stepping onto a boat. And just as he was stepping onto a boat in a time when it wasn't easy to travel back and forward from the mission field, a close friend walked up and shoved an envelope into his hand and said, "If ever you get to the end of yourself and you've exhausted all other means, I want you to open this envelope." After 35 years, the same missionary returned to the same port from which he departed. And that friend that gave him that envelope said, you never was there to meet him. He said, you never sent me. You never opened that envelope. He says, I never had need to. God supplied all my need. How do you make most of 2023? Let Christ be on the throne. Seek his kingdom, and all these things will be added. Let's bow together in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, as we embark, as we step out into a new year, whatever that year has for us, Lord, we have heard this morning from your word how we can make the most of 2023, or how we can put the most into 2023. Father, we pray that we will be wiser than our years, maturer than we had ever thought before. And just grant to us, Lord, that wisdom that comes from heaven above to set the right priorities, to seek the purity of God, and to realize the things that we have, the things that we want, aren't necessarily the things that we need, but you will supply them all according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Bless this congregation, we pray. And those at home listening online, those who are going through the valley of the shadow of death, those who are going through the valley of dereliction, despair, aloneness, or whatever the case might be, grant, Lord, that they may seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. For your glory and for your name's sake, we pray. Amen. I'm going to stand and sing 546, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart. Thank you. Band will stand and sing. Thank you. Oh, If you know and love the Lord and you're walking with him, you're very welcome. Please join with us. Doesn't matter if you're saved 5 minutes, 5 years, or 50 years. If you're walking with the Lord and you know his salvation, please join with us in the breaking of bread and the thanksgiving. If you have to rush on home, that's fine. But what a wonderful way to start a new year on the Lord's Day and the first day of the year, celebrating his sacrifice for us. And can I also remind you that tonight's homebrew, and we'll be having a number of our own folks singing, and it'll be a time of praise where we'll be asking the congregation as much as any others to sing the praises of God and start with a good old-fashioned praise service in this, the first year of 2023. Our Father, thank you again for your presence with us. We commit ourselves, our time to you, Lord, in the next moments when we give thanks and celebrate and remember the Lord's death until he comes. And may we, Lord, truly experience the blessing of God upon us. We ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated.